time to recap McCook City Council from last night in our studios. Glad to have back City Manager Nate Schneider. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Yes, indeed. And a Husker win on Saturday.
Husker
win.
Yep, I broke out the special bandana for the interview today. Got to celebrate the Husker win somehow. So
good win.
Yeah, yes, they needed indeed. It. They needed it bad, so yep. I'm happy for them.
No question about it. Mr. Baseball, Gene Wheaton's in the house.
Good morning.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine.
Good to have you both here. Good. And here at City Council, once again, is everybody with the council there?
No, we only had three people, okay. Three council members there last night. So we got a few staff members that are out as well, too. So we're just kind of plugging along. You know, we're hoping that, you know, we don't lose a lot of people all at the same time. You know, when I was out. We were in the middle of an audit, and our annual audit, and we had four people in our office out at the same time. So we were trying to do our audit from home, you know, and I felt bad for the people that were left there because they were stuck having to try to run around, get paper, making phone calls. It's crazy. It was, eye-opening experience trying to run that office at half staff. It was almost impossible. So, I hope that we were able to kind of keep our numbers down. And for us, at least, you know, at our office, try to make sure that if we lose somebody, it's only one person and not the entire office. So
you try, like Earl just was in here talking about the courthouse, keeping the courthouse open. You same go with your city offices. You're trying to keep it. And then with what happened yesterday, moving in the red and stuff like that, You're just trying to keep that office open, aren't you?
Yeah, that's what we're really trying to do. And you think about what we provide and offer. You know, we've got our public safety officers. And firefighters, you know, and trying to keep those two offices open and running, you know, at least a capacity that's going to allow us to provide the services that we need to. It's extremely important. We're requiring masks at our office. We've been requiring them for a long time. You know, like I said, we have services that we provide that we need to continue to provide. You know, and it's not just fire and police. You think about the senior center. You know, we've got 165 people that are relying on the senior center to provide them meals during the day. We have our utilities and public works trying to keep those departments going. You know, and those departments have been hit. It's never a good situation when you have a water main break and you don't have anybody there to fix it. So, we're just doing our best to try to keep our heads above water right now.
And Senior Center, by the way, just to let everyone know, is back to curbside service and Meals on Wheels, aren't
you? Right. Yeah. We had to make the tough decision to close the doors, and we hated doing it because we know we've been trying to balance, you know, the public safety issue with making sure that people had an opportunity to get together and hang out and socialize. And when the numbers started to kind of go up, it made the decision kind of easy for us because the primary purpose, I think, of the senior center is probably to make sure that we provide meals for people that can't provide it for themselves. And we had to keep that kitchen open. And we couldn't run the risk of losing staff members in the senior center, and not being able to provide meals. Not to say that it couldn't happen. I mean, it could happen if you were to have a mass infection. I mean, that's a possibility. But we're going to try to do whatever we can to try to reduce that possibility. And so, for right now, we're keeping the doors closed.
All right. Let's get to the agenda from last night. We'll start first. Anything in citizens' comments?
Yeah, Andy Long was there. And it's kind of lengthy, so bear with me, please.
Sure.
What Andy is talking about is called Rural Workforce Housing Funds. And so what the EDC, McCook Economic Development Corporation, is doing is putting together a grant proposal for Red Willow County. And their proposing is to recommend creating a $750,000 fund that can be used as low-interest deferred loans to lower the cost of building or substantial rehab. And this is all housing projects. And they're planning on raising $250,000 locally, applying for a matching loan of $250,000, and applying to the Rural Workforce Housing Fund for $250,000. And what Andy was there last night is he would like the city council to pledge $25,000 from its ACE funds. ACE is the funds we get from our natural gas collection that would go toward the $250,000 that has to be raised locally. And this is for housing or rehab of housing. So this is a workforce. So we took it under consideration, and I asked that we bring it back at our next agenda, and we'll discuss it and take action on it then at that time. So that's kind of a short synopsis of a long process.
Uh-huh. That's good, Andy. Andy does a great job of trying to get the ball rolling with this, the homes in our area.
Yeah, and those ACE funds, they are set aside for community betterment purposes. We've used them for a lot of different things, but we don't necessarily have a pigeonholed use. You know, you can kind of extend that out to different uses. We've used it for capital projects, but we've also used it in situations where we felt that there was a need. One of the examples would have been that West 4th house that burned, and there was not enough money privately to go ahead and demolish that house, but we knew that it was creating issues in the neighborhood. There were neighbors that had safety concerns, and so we did use those funds to demolish it. So there has been a precedent set for utilizing those funds for something other than capital projects. Council, you know, will get an opportunity to review the request and decide, you know, if they think the $25,000 that's being requested would be a good use of those funds for community betterment purposes. But housing, you know, that's a big issue. I know Andy's been in here before talking about housing, and it's something that we've got listed in our comprehensive plan as a primary concern, you know, and it's something that we continuously look at. And we've done a lot of projects trying to increase our housing stock, and whatever we can do to try to help with that, we are going to try to do. So,
anything else in citizens' comments? Was that it?
We had a citizen, Phil Lyons, was there, and Phil basically just expressed a concern about the increase in the number of COVID cases in Red Willow County and asked that the city council and the health board do whatever it could to try and stop the spread of the virus, I believe. So basically, we took no action on it because we couldn't, because it wasn't on the agenda. But I'm sure that we'll bring this back to our attention again and be on the agenda.
Announcements, recognitions, anything there?
Just a few things. We have a Board of Zoning Adjustment meeting scheduled for next Monday. We actually have two items for that, two variance requests. And then I just kind of reiterated some of the things that we talked about earlier in this show. You know, we're trying our best to keep the spread down over at the city offices. One of the things that we've decided was to try to reduce the number of meetings that we have that aren't really essential meetings. We want to make sure that we provide, you know, those essential services that need to be provided. And we want to have our Planning Commission meetings and our Board of Zoning Adjustment meetings and our council meetings and those kinds of things. But some of the other things that we typically do, we're going to try to reduce the in-person meetings to as little as we possibly can. You know, I had a meeting the other day. I had somebody call me that wanted to meet in person. And I said, why don't we just go ahead and meet outside? You know, and we rolled out a map, put it on the hood of the car, took a look at it, and that's how we met. But again, our big thing is we're trying our best just to keep our doors open, you know, and as is everybody else. I think everybody's in the same boat. So we're going to try to keep some of those in-person contacts down to a minimum for the time being until we get this spread under control.
You had a proclamation, a big, you know, right after Saturday after Thanksgiving, didn't you?
Right. It's November the 28th is Small Business Saturday, and we authorize the mayor to sign it. And it's important, local businesses right now in the current situation, it's important that we patronize the local businesses, especially the small ones.
Food establishments are, you know, we're getting ready for Christmas, and, you know, shop local this year, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that we all need to really think about what that move from the orange to red designation yesterday means. And I know at the state level they're talking about additional restrictions. We've already had one shut down, and it might have jumped the gun just a little bit back in March. But this is legit right now. And so whatever we can do to try to help one another out, we really need to do right now. That includes buying locally, staying in town, trying to help out your friends and neighbors, as best as you can. So, we strongly encourage people to do their Christmas shopping here in McCook this year, and we appreciate it. The evidence is showing that people are staying local. There are fewer people traveling to larger towns just based upon the sales tax numbers to do their shopping, which makes sense. I think a lot of people are more comfortable right now shopping here in town. But I know with some of the restrictions that are coming out right now as far as eating establishments, restricting the number of people that can be served at one point in time or the space that's available for service. I mean, that's going to really hurt, and some of these eating establishments, you think about their Christmas parties and things like that, they really rely on those, as far as income. So if you get a chance, make sure that you patronize them, whether it's in person or even curbside service. I know that a lot of restaurants are going back to curbside service options. And so, whatever you can do, try to do it.
Move on. Public hearing, request for a special exemption by Community Hospital and dealing with some land to locate a daycare center.
Yeah, this was a COVID-related item. So Blake Bethel, the facility manager over at the hospital, had submitted an application. And the request was to create a daycare center at 605 East 11th Street, which is a residential property. It's an awesome residential property. This is actually the house that Bob Harrison had built, but he had done so much work to, and it looks great. And the hospital bought it, I want to say, a few months ago. They are concerned that if there are daycare facilities that start closing their doors because of illnesses or whatnot, that they're not going to have enough daycare options for their employees, and they need to make sure that they're able to provide the medical services that are necessary. So they're kind of looking at this and taking the long-term approach, which I applaud them for. They are looking at turning this into a daycare facility temporarily. Ultimately they want it to remain residential, but turning it into a daycare facility. If there are daycare providers that are unable to work because of COVID. And so we looked at it at the Planning Commission last week, and the Planning Commission recommended approving the request last week to the council. The big thing that we were looking at was ingress and egress and parking. We've done a few of these. We're getting pretty good at doing the requests on the daycare facilities, which is a good thing. I know that that's been a point of emphasis as well, too, at the EDC, and it's something that we want to make sure that we see available for our young families, so that way they're able to work, even when, in this case, when things aren't the easiest. So anyway, the council was not concerned with the ingress-egress. There are already commercial properties in the area. The hospital has a facility to the north, and then you have SWATs to the south, so you already have vehicles and cars there. And East 11th Street's a snow route. It's a big street. It's a good street. Ingress and egress shouldn't be impacted up and down 11th Street or even F Street. And then parking, the Harrisons, when they bought that house and started renovating it, they included a drive-through area that kind of J's on the back side of the house. So it goes from 11th Street all the way to F Street. So there's plenty of space for people to go ahead and park their cars. It's actually going to be an orderly traffic flow if they have to use it for daycare facilities. They can actually come in off 11th Street and then exit on F Street and then just go back out onto 11th Street. So they're going to have a circular route. Aside from that, there weren't any other real questions that we could see. We didn't even mention any other concerns that we had. I think that this would just be a temporary request, and they'd be comfortable removing that at some point in time. They obviously have to go through the process of getting certified with DHHS, and that's nothing that we have to worry about with our rules and regulations. But it sounds to me like they've got a plan in place to try to get those regulations put in.
So hopefully this could be something they really got to get the ball rolling pretty fast.
Yeah, they're moving fast on it. I talked to Blake Bethel a couple of weeks ago, and they're really trying hard to make sure that they've got a plan in place in case we start seeing daycare facilities close around town.
Next up, let's see, adjourning the public hearing, receive in minutes, we economic development plan, citizens advisory review committee, anything there? That committee meeting, nothing there.
No, nothing. And he just gave us a financial report.
Sure.
And then an update on some of the projects that they're planning on doing. And no, there was nothing special there.
Consent agenda. How many? A few items there. Quite a few items. Anything really pulled for discussion?
Yeah. Councilman Calvin pulled B and C, so I'll talk about B first. It's the Area Chamber of Commerce annual Christmas Light Up the Bricks Parade at 6:30 on Saturday, December the 5th. Jerry was just concerned about COVID and et cetera. So Dawson Brunswick was there last night and talked about he thought with the cold weather and spacing, social distancing, it would be okay. So who knows by then what we're going to be in. So
it's a couple of weeks away, yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And then on C, Myers Construction of Broken Bow is going to put a new water line in on West 5th Street. Mm-hmm. Is it from J Street, Nate, all the way north to the pump house?
Yeah, it's going to be from G to M.
Okay.
G Street to M Street.
And they wanted to change the completion date, move it back to June. And they were supposed to get it done this year yet?
Yes.
And so they're going to move it back to June of 2021. And so we had to okay moving it back. And in return for okaying moving it back, Myers is going to do another $20,000 worth of extra work for us. I think down on the railroad tracks, there's a project down there. We need to do some water project. And so Myers has agreed to do that if we would move the completion date back. So it's a new water line. It's like 16 inches. Mm-hmm. It'll increase the flow in that part of the town, because Jesse has always said that flow is mm-hmm. is compromised, especially during irrigation season. And so that was basically it. So Jerry was just concerned about what happens if we don't do anything and we have a problem, what are we going to do?
And Jesse felt pretty comfortable. You know, he thinks that we're going to be okay up through June. You know, the request actually was based upon COVID issues the construction company was having. They had a lot of employees that had gotten knocked out that set them behind. And also they were concerned about what it was going to look like as the cold weather starts to set in. You know, when they submitted the letter, it was the coldest part of October, and they were worried that it was going to be too cold for them to do the work. So we understood, you know, the fact that they're willing to go ahead and give consideration, you know, in order for us to go ahead and extend this out. It was appreciated. And Jesse doesn't have a lot of concerns. He thinks that we're going to be okay moving forward and waiting for a few more months to get this project done. You know, COVID is wreaking havoc with everybody right now, and you know, it's not just us at the city; it's also private companies as well too. So we understand. One thing about the Myers Construction Company is they've done a lot of projects here. They're very reputable. You know, I think that all of us at the city, we trust them when they say, "Hey, you know, these are the reasons why we can't do it right now." I don't think that they were trying to you know, blow smoke. I think it was legitimate. And so if we need to extend it, you know, I think that we can do so. The fact that there's going to be additional money or additional work done, that's a nice way to assure that they're going to continue with the project like they had planned.
Had a couple of items on your regular agenda. I guess just really one discussion regarding potentially rescheduling Capital Improvement Strategic Planning Committee meeting.
we basically decided, because of the situation, we just basically decided to postpone this. We didn't feel that it was appropriate right now to have public meetings. And I know the governor said Friday that if we go to 25% of the hospitals with COVID, that he's going to limit public meetings to 10 people. Well, we feel as a council that we need as many people at this meetings to do our strategic planning as possible. So we have just put this off. We'll put it back on the agenda. We'll just take it from week to week and say, well, if COVID starts to go down, maybe we can have a public meeting in a week or month or whatever. So right now we just postponed it. We're not putting this off, but we just don't feel it's appropriate right now to have public meetings.
Anything council comments then last night?
I think Mike just mentioned that he appreciated the Public Works guys doing Santa Claus Lane. Seems like it was really early this year. I was thinking about that. I went home at lunchtime and I saw him out there working, and it just felt early. But probably just because it's so nice out right now. You know, we're used to doing that stuff, I think, in crummy type of conditions. So, but it's nice to be able to do it when it's nice and warm and the ground isn't completely frozen. So that part's good. And then also, Mike just mentioned last night that, you know, Southwest Nebraska Public Health Department moved our designation from orange to red. And there is a list of what that means. He had referred to it during the meeting. If anybody wants to take a look and see what that means, you can go to their website and it'll tell you what you need to do. So, and aside from that, there are no comments.
Next regular city council meeting coming up on December
the 7th.
Seventh, wow. December 7th.
Right around the corner after Thanksgiving and before Christmas. So that's a lot of stuff is going to happen between now and then.
Now, as far as the city offices for next week, closed on Thursday.
So we'll be closed on Thursday and Friday.
And Friday, okay.
Yep, we're closed on Thursday and Friday, and then we'll be back open that Monday.
All right, very good. Anything else from last night?
I don't think so. I think that... you know, it was good to see everybody. I know it was weird being gone from the meeting.
I bet.
I think I've missed one meeting as a city manager. I think Emily had a mock trial state competition. That was probably about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I missed for that. Other than that, I haven't been gone for a single council meeting. And so I told Kyle before the meeting, I said, make sure you give me a phone call as soon as it's done so I know what happened. And he called me, you know, almost immediately. It was like 10 minutes after 5:30. So he said, yeah, it was a real short meeting. You didn't miss out on very much. So I appreciated that. We did pull some stuff off of the meeting. We had a presentation that was scheduled, you know, to discuss land banking and some other things as well, too. But, you know, unfortunately, our city attorney was even, you know, having issues, you know, where he couldn't get there. So some of the things that we wanted to do at that meeting, we couldn't do. And we just decided we'd wait for a little while on some of those things as well, too. So, you know, internally, we're just trying to figure out what we need to do to try to comply with the regulations. We've talked about over this last week making sure we've got dividers between council member seats and things like that. Last night we were prepared if there was going to be an overflow, we were going to have people sit out in the foyer area and watch from the TV to try to avoid having too many people in that council chamber area. Just a lot of those kinds of things, just trying to make sure that we're you know, paying attention to you know, what the current designations are and what we need to do to try to comply with them.